Episode 237, what an absolute treat we have here for you guys. Joe Wieskamp, friend of Drake Kulik, Muscatine hero, puts Drake to shame, is on the show today. More than that, he's an incredible Iowa Hawkeye. He just got drafted by the Spurs, and he's a great interview. You guys are going to love this one. Please enjoy Joe Wieskamp. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washoe Balkans fans, episode 237 of the podcast. Today, we're going to coin this one, Kluver, shut the fuck up. The men are talking. This is the most excited I've ever been for a podcast because this is my favorite athlete on the planet right now. The kid literally accomplished the goal that I was trying to accomplish. From the day he stepped on the basketball court, he's been the best. He's been unstoppable. The Muscatine's finest, the king of Muscatine, Joe Wieskamp, is on our podcast to talk to us. And the newest member of the San Antonio Spurs. Congratulations, Joe. You made it to the NBA, dude, and I'm the most hyped human on earth right now.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Give it up for the man. I'm fucking hyped.
What does it feel like, man? Okay, so close your eyes and take me back to when you were shooting hoops in the YMCA. You walked through them doors to put in another day at the Y, and then that kid is in the NBA right now.
It's just crazy. I don't think a lot of people realize the amount of work that it takes to get to this point. A lot of hours on your own in the gym, just shooting, in the weight room too. Just all those different things, like traveling to different AAU tournaments across the country. The amount of sacrifice that my parents and my family have made to help get me to this point. And so just to hear my name called the other night and to finally be here is surreal.
I don't know where Drake just went, but he'll be back here in a second. You mentioned the work that you put in, and I feel it. I feel that in a different way. I was a long snapper. You probably don't know who the fuck I am, Joe. But I'm the tech guy who makes this thing go around here. And shooting free throws and shooting three pointers is kind of similar to long snapping. It's just a bunch of reps. It's a shitload of reps, and it can get boring. It's monotonous, man. It's just the same thing over and over. And it's that way for a reason. You're trying to make that muscle memory. And in the long hours in the gym, it's hot. You're sweating, man. Your friends are, you know, chilling at the pool, or they're all hanging out, or you're, you know, doing whatever, and you're in the gym putting in work. What was going through your mind during those sessions that kept you through? Because for me, I tricked myself into thinking it was like, oh, I'm like better than everybody else because I'm putting in work right now. Like, no one's doing it, but I am, right? And you had to almost be sick in a way. You just had to enjoy that process. So what was it in your head?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's muscle memory. So you gotta be in the gym every single day, just getting the feel for the shot. I know there's been times where if I take a couple days off, it's like I don't feel good about myself. Like I know my shot's still there because, like you said, it's muscle memory. But my mindset is just has always been like I just want to get a little bit better each day. I know that my ultimate goals are far down the road. But if I can just chip away each and every day, then I'll get there one day. And that's what I've done up until this point, and it's really paid off. And I know I'm just going to continue to keep doing that moving forward.
Dude, it was like 2013 when I was telling everybody about the skinny assassin from Muscatine. I'm like, listen to me. This kid is going to be unbelievable. And you committed to Iowa super early, and huge props to you for not backing out on that, because I told everybody that I could that I would have backed out on that and I would have gone to Duke. So like, big props to you for sticking to your commitment. What do you think was the best moment in your high school career? Because I have one in particular that I couldn't believe was happening.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you two. The first one, my senior year at home against Bettendorf on senior night. For those of you guys who don't know, I scored 54. It was cake auction, which is like just a huge fundraiser for the whole town. And it was just a crazy environment. The whole
Joe, life. I scored 54 my senior year.
That was my number one for me too, because I drove back from Iowa City to watch that game.
Shit.
And the place was packed, and the amount of signatures you had to autographs you had to give out after that game was unbelievable.
Yeah, the gym was stupid. Like it was packed, standing room only. That was definitely one of the best. And then number two was the sub-state final, when we won that game and made it to state, the first time the Muscatines made it to state in 16 years. I think I remember seeing you there. You might have been courtside. I think Jack one time after a big three or a big play, he flexed towards you guys, and it was cool to see you there.
I almost got thrown out of.
I was gonna say Drake might have killed somebody.
Listen, dude, I almost got sent home.
Oh, Drake's in, that's not good. Like, Drake's the kind of guy that will just take one for the Muscatine basketball team and break a guy's leg so that they don't have their best player.
Yeah, no, those were definitely the top two moments in my high school career.
He mentioned the skinny kid, right? And Joe's not so skinny anymore. Joe got a little bit bigger.
I don't know about that.
He got a little bit bigger. You never got as big as Drake. And not everyone does.
I was hoping he'd give us a flex there, but he's too modest.
No, he would never flex for us.
Fair to you, Drake.
Well, yeah. The weight room is a large part of college sports. And
were you worried about lifting too much and screwing up your shooting mechanics? Because I've always wondered about how big dudes with big muscles can always keep the same stroke.
Not really. I think Coach Hawkins had such a great lifting program in high school that
shout out to Coach Hawkins, man.
Yeah, no, he's terrific. He's definitely a big part of the reason I'm here. But I was never worried about it because I trusted those guys that were putting us through those workouts. Like, I trusted his routines and all those different types of things. So I was never really worried about it.
For me, I watched your game. I mean, it's evolved on so many levels, and I think you would echo that. But I watched it evolve from so Drake and I are both exercise science majors, and we're kind of nerdy about the body, working out, that kind of shit. And I watched your game evolve, not from a skill level, but from a physical readiness level, from year one to year two, and then year two to year three again. Was that something that was a prominent sort of goal in the off season, both years? How did you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, just you realize the physicality of the Big Ten. Night in and night out, you're getting guys up into your space, guys that are older, stronger. And so that was a huge focus for me, and all the off season was just to become stronger. That way I could, you know, handle that contact, whether I was driving or, fighting off a guy coming off a down screen, just all those different things were like Drake said, I always have been, you know, a skinnier, taller guy, but just to try to have some of that strength that I can battle through the Big Ten.
You were never afraid to finish at the rim. Something that I'm envious of, because I never made it to the rim. I'm 5'10". You get me on an empty court, 30 minutes into a nice old warm up, and I could touch the rim. But I don't do things like you. There's a lot of dunks from your college career, and a couple from your high school career that I went back and looked at on your.
Dude, some of the high school dunks. Somebody threw you one off the backboard, and I went ballistic. I don't remember what happened, but I blacked out.
Yeah. Are there any that stick out to you?
I think probably the main one that sticks out to me would be at Ohio, or it was at home against Ohio State when I split the defenders and rose up and kind of dunked over EJ Liddell. But there's definitely been some cool moments. I know there's been a couple posters in high school too. But yeah, lots of good dunks.
And that was one of my questions too. I put down, did he ever feel bad about what he did to kids in high school?
Never.
Never.
I mean, I love it.
Like, it sounds bad, but at the end of the day, I was the one in the gym putting in the work.
Yep.
Like, I prepared year round for the high school season. Like, other kids were playing other sports, and I mean, credit to them to be able to do, you know, to have multi-sport athletes. But for me, my focus was always basketball. So that's what I prepared for year round. And at the end of the day, I was going out there to try to, you know, kill those dudes. I was trying to just do whatever I could to help our team win at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Why basketball? Was it, you know, your parents gave you the basketball when you were three, or you did play?
Also, shout out to the Wies Camp squad, because they've been shouted out on multiple occasions on this podcast.
Hey, shout out your brother, bro. Part of the walk-on army on this shit.
He would be upset if I didn't give him a little shout out. So definitely shout out to Sam. Shout out to the whole family. They're huge supporters of your guys' podcast.
What legends.
We appreciate that.
But what, so Joe just picked up a basketball at three, or did you play soccer and baseball, t-ball like everybody else, and then basketball just ended up kind of being the one you gravitated towards? What was the story there?
Yeah, I played pretty much all sports growing up. Baseball, football, soccer. I was actually on the swim team at one point. Basketball.
I heard those Muscatine swimmers are a bunch of pussies.
I don't know about that. My neighbors actually were the Jacksons.
I'm kidding.
And we've talked about the Jacksons, because Tate's the one that swims for the U.S. national team now.
No, it's crazy. Those guys are really talented. But yeah, I played all sports growing up, but basketball is just the one that I grew a love for. It was what I was best at, and I knew that it was a sport that I would have long-term success in.
Well, you can see the future, brother, because the success is here. You get the call on draft night. What's that feel like? Because me and Drake don't know.
My heart was pounding. It was like 2 to 3 months since the season ended, leading up into the draft, and just all the uncertainty moving forward. You don't know where you're going to end up in the world. But just to get the call from my agent, it was a couple picks before my name was actually called. So I was able to tell my family where I was going, and, you know, I think some tears were shed, lots of hugs, but then we were able to, by that whole time, then my name was actually called on TV, and it's so surreal. Lots of hard work put into that moment, and I'm just very thankful that I was one of the 60 people to hear my name called, because there's a lot of talented guys out there that went undrafted. And so it's just such a blessing.
This might be a dumb question, but is Pop still the coach?
Yeah, he is.
You're playing for Greg Popovich. He has coached the Olympians. He's coached every one of the best basketball players in the world. Like, that is so insane to me.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet him. He's obviously over in Tokyo with the Olympic team, but when he's here, I'll definitely be a little starstruck.
I mean, you're already repping the new digs. You're in the hotel room. I imagine there it is, Spurs.
I had my photo shoot today, put the jersey on for the first time.
Wow. What number do they give you?
1-5.
Yeah.
15. Oh, that's slick.
1-5's icy.
That's options slick. Were a little limited. Obviously Damar's number 10, Tim Duncan's 21, the high school throwback, but I'm excited to be 15.
It's a good number.
You're walking through, I mean, shit, you get the call, and then it's like, on the back end, you set everything up, and it's like, okay, well, you're flying down to San Antonio. I'm sure you had like a few media things already. You're already on the social media there. You know, before we hit record, I asked you if you're already in the playbook and you're already trying to learn that shit. I mean, it's full go, go, go right away. Does it like, has it even set in yet? Is it even real?
I don't think so. Because by the time I was drafted, obviously the draft is a long night. I think it was around 11 o'clock, and then celebrating with my family a little bit. But then you get the call from – you see some San Antonio numbers start popping up on your phone, so you know you got to take those ones.
Yep.
One of them was one of the staff members saying, we got a flight for you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Luckily, I got to move back until like 9:30, but it's just crazy how quickly you turn around and – obviously you're so excited, you're so thankful, but you realize you have a job starting tomorrow. Like,
how crazy is that? You just went from being a college kid to having one of the most high profile jobs on earth.
No, it's crazy. I don't think like it really hasn't sunk in, but it's going to be a job. Like, it's obviously going to be a ton of fun. I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it, but you're expected to, you know, be at the gym for however many hours a day, and you have media requirements, which it's similar to college, but it's just on a whole new level. And I'm excited to finally just to be in one spot. You know, the draft process has been crazy. I've been flying all across the country to work out for different teams, living out of a hotel. So to finally be in one spot where I can actually train, and I'm a guy that's like big on routine. So to have like finally be able to get into a routine, I'm just really looking forward to it.
That's gotta be stressful.
Oh, go ahead, Clipper.
No, I mean, that's gotta be stressful. Routine is all about something to latch onto. You got to anchor to something, right? Like whether it's a micro routine or a life routine, everybody has them. And when you're trying to be at your best, you're trying to literally play the best basketball you've ever played because you're job interviewing in front of all these teams. But part of that process is having to deal with jet lag and staying in a bed that isn't yours and working out at times that you're maybe not used to multiple days in a row. Like what was the big action steps in managing all that?
No, it's crazy. So how these workouts are kind of structured is you'll fly in the night before, get into the hotel, and then usually the next morning you're, you know, interviewing, you're working out. So you really got to take care of your body. In the hotels, I was, you know, some gross hotel floors, but I was on the floor stretching the night before, the morning of.
Love that.
Just different things like that where you have to take care of your body because it truly is a long process. I think I took over 30 flights in the past couple months.
Oh my God.
And like you said, like you're trying to perform at a high level at all these different workouts. So it's taking care of your body, trying to eat the right things as you guys know, being, you know, top athletes, but it's a crazy process.
He called us top athletes, Drake. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Too much credit. Didn't y'all draft a really good point guard?
Yeah, his name's Josh Primo.
That's cool.
What a sick last name, dude. Primo? Fuck.
It's always good to have a really good guy running the show that is like the same age as you.
Yeah, no, it's cool. We've gotten to know each other in the past couple of days. He's actually only 18 and doesn't have his driver's license yet.
We're old as shit, dude. All these Olympians I'm watching on TV, it's like average age is like 22. I'm like, yeah, oh, shit, like, we're out.
When we got to the hotel, they had a rental car for us, and so I've been the one driving us around. So
because he doesn't know how to drive.
He's an NBA player, doesn't have his license yet, but it's been cool for us because we can ride together, go get food, and start to build this relationship early on.
I'd love to know how you approach diet and what kind of instruction you guys had on that in college and how you go about that. Cause it's ultra important now, especially you talked about body work. Now you're literally a professional athlete who at this level, you're going to spend money on that kind of thing. You're going to spend money on good food, good, clean nutrition, body work, massages, cryotherapy, all that stuff. But what's the diet look like? And then also what's like the go-to when you go for a cheat meal or like a little fast food?
Yeah. Honestly, my fiance is probably the one that's helped me out the most. She's huge into healthy cooking. She likes organic things. So when I'd come home from practice or different things, she would have meals ready for me.
Shout out Mackenzie Meyer.
Yeah.
Also who is also on my list because I was going to ask about, you know, you're recently engaged. Big undertaking there, and your soon to be wife is fairly good at basketball herself.
Dude, she's a flamethrower too. It's yeah. We F baby, F is for fuego, and the kids that y'all have are gonna come out shooting better than 50%. It's fucking insane.
No, yeah, she's been, you know, my rock throughout this whole thing. She's been such a huge support throughout this whole process, holding it down with the puppy that we have. And she was a terrific player too. We had a lot of fun times shooting together at Carver, rebounding for each other, and then coming home and she'd whip up a good meal. So can't thank her enough for all her support.
Dude,
and,
this guy's living the dream. This guy's living the dream. Everybody listening right now, you gotta, I don't know, Joe, I'm not sure how you did it, and maybe you write a book someday, but this is called the American Dream 2.0, the athlete's American dream.
People don't understand how fucking hard it is to make it out of Muscatine as an athlete because there's such little past success. Muscatine basketball team has been horrific ass, dude. There was a coach who literally only stayed around until Joe was about to graduate, and then he retired because he was definitely not going to coach the Muscatine shitters, man. That's Joe Wieskamp.
Yeah.
He took an entire city's basketball team from the Portland Trailblazers to the Golden State Warriors.
I think the Trailblazers have been decent recently.
Okay, maybe. Well, they used to be trash. I was trying to make a reference.
Maybe they're trash still. I don't know. That is interesting, Joe. And just talking to you and God, everything I've read about you and everything that Drake said about you, you're just the most humble guy. So you're probably not going to give me anything good here. But what does it feel like, you have to know that you had a lot. I mean, you're a hometown hero. You're a hometown hero.
Hero.
And what does that feel like? And knowing that, you had a large part in taking a program and a town to new heights, if not for just, at least a few years.
It's really cool. Like Drake talked about, basketball is not the main focus in Muscatine. There's not a lot of guys that.
What is the main focus? Is it drugs or?
It was swimming for a long time, dude, to be honest.
Bowling is a big Marshalltown focus. We've been state champs a couple times in a row.
But yeah, there's not many people that are devoted to a sport, especially basketball like I was. So I didn't have the type of resources that a lot of the other top athletes had. But thankfully I had, a really good support system around me. I had a guy like Scott Morrell I trained with each and every day. And so he was super helpful in my progress during high school. But just to have the city of Muscatine behind my back throughout this, that's one of the coolest memories that I can, look back on my career was my senior year playing with my best friends that I grew up playing with and to make it to the state tournament. It's surreal to have that support and just to know that when I go home and go to the grocery store that everyone knows who I am and just appreciates what I've done.
You graduated in 18?
Yeah.
Jesus, my goodness. He's in the NBA and he graduated high school after we graduated college, Drake.
Correct.
Holy smokes. That's he has done so much more in the last 3 years than we have. Drake would have been then a senior when you were in eighth grade. What was Drake's reputation? I've heard it was not a good one. Basically the bad guy in the town. And rumors were that he was a bad influence on basically everybody.
Nah,
believe
it or not, Drake was a guy that I looked up to. He was a guy that was like, he was so devoted to getting better and just watching him out on the football field, just destroying dudes. Just like his mindset that he had about sports, and it's continued. He's helped me, sends me texts like all throughout my career, just advice that he has mentally. Because he doesn't know much about basketball, but he knows what it takes mentally as, a top athlete to get through these types of things. So he was always someone that I looked up to, and he was, one of the best athletes to come out of Muscatine too.
Man, I appreciate those words, dude.
That hurts.
That shit's on Kluver big time, and I love that.
It's true. And I don't want to believe it. It's true.
I'm glad you brought up the text because I thought that was like a cool thing. I thought that was the only thing I could offer you is like, I want this kid to succeed so badly that I'm going to do whatever I can to make him that little 1% better that you talked about. And we had heard so many amazing people talk about mindset and how to build a Warriors mindset and how to block out the outside noise and only care about what's happening between you and your family inside the building. And like, those are just the only messages I was really ever interested in sending you because you were so far better than I was and more mature mentally than I was at a younger age. So I was just trying to pass on the information that I had. And I'm glad it helped.
No, it's been definitely very helpful because the mental side of the game is something that I think a lot of people that just watch the game don't realize. Like if you're out there missing shots or just Or you, even if you're making great plays, like, there's just such a big mental aspect that goes into the game and preparing yourself for it, dealing with the expectations, just all those different things that go into it. So to have a guy that's been through it, I know the Iowa football program is really good at the mental side. So to just learn from you and just a lot of people has been really helpful.
Talk to us about the pressure of being a shooter. Cause like everybody knew how lethal you were as a shooter, but nobody's perfect and everybody has bad days. Like you've talked about, what's it feel like having the expectations of being lethal? Cause a lot of people don't, you know, Steph Curry has those expectations. You know, there's Klay Thompson has those expectations. There's not a lot of guys who shoot 50% from 3 point.
46%, which is what most people listening to this podcast were hoping to shoot from the free throw line when they played basketball.
No, I've had expectations on me since the beginning. I was expected to score 30 points a game in high school and
you did.
College. Just being a kid from Iowa. And going to the home state school, like I had high expectations on me to go out there and perform right away. So it continued on just now that I'm known as, you know, one of the best shooters that came out of the draft is you're expected to go in there and knock down, you know, every shot that you take. And people think that if you miss a shot, like, you know, maybe you're not as good as other, like you may think, or just things like that. Like you're expected to go out there and make every shot. And so that's something that, I've worked through really like my sophomore year in college. Like I went through a little slump where I didn't shoot it as well. And, but just got back in the gym, worked on those mental things like we talked about and, came out here and, you know, shot at an extremely high rate my junior year.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think it would be ignorant to assume that any college athlete goes through their career without the valleys, the peaks. There's peaks and valleys. And I think that every guy or girl has their valleys. What was the thing to fall back on in that valley, right? Like, you know, you're a good shooter. It's going to come back. It's like a hitter in baseball. It'll come back. You'll start seeing the ball again. I'm curious if you mentioned the mental side of things. We had Frank Garza on several times and he talked about how deep him and Luka have gone on the mental side of things to the point where I'm almost convinced that Luka has magical powers. And then also your wife to be playing at the same level, going through all the same things. Was that something you talked about with her? That is an interesting dynamic for me. To be able to talk to your significant other about the same athletic, maybe triumphs and obstacles, that sounds badass. That would be wild.
No, I think you hit it right on key. It was a combination out to different people. I have such a huge support system, but guys like Jordan Bohannon and Peter Jock were two of the guys that I reached out to because they're two of the best shooters that come out of Iowa, and I know that they've had struggles as well. I've actually reached out to Luca and Frank and started to do some of that mental stuff. And we would do meditation before games and just some breathing techniques to slow your mind down, to almost just like shut your mind off. Cause when you're a shooter out there, you don't want to have clutter. You just want to go out there and just trust the preparation that you've put in and just be able to go out there and play your game as you've done so many times. But because when you have, you know, thoughts out there, you know, I got to make this shot or different things like that, then you're probably going to miss it. So it's being able to go out there and play with a clear mind. And having McKenzie as well is, you know, one of the top resources that anyone could ask for. A person that has experienced it firsthand, has played at that high a level and has went through a lot of high times and, you know, a couple lows. But she was a terrific shooter at Iowa too. So there was definitely times where we would talk about it and she would help me through it.
I gotta imagine you gotta be careful in that situation. Like you're having a bad, you have a bad game or like you're down in the dumps and she says something like in a coaching tone and you're like, please shut the fuck. I mean, don't shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. I just don't want to hear it from you right now. Like that would be hard to have someone who you know has validity behind what they're saying, but they're also your significant other and you don't want them to be right about it, or you don't want them to like feel like they know more than, oh man, that would be delicate.
No, she was always really good about it. Like, because obviously, like we talked about, she's been through it, but at the same time, she wasn't sitting there trying to coach me up, like, you know, your shot's off a little bit this way or that.
Oh God.
She was never like that. She was just always so supportive and just really positive with me. And that's truly what I needed.
Did you ever go into the gym and like, it was just a bad night for you? And she's just like, yo, I'm going to work you real quick on 10 shots. Like we're going to shoot 10 threes and you walk out of there and she beat you by like 3 shots. And you're just like, well, I'm pissed. Don't like that.
No, there's definitely been lots of times when we've went and shot together and rebounded for each other. And I mean, obviously we did different shooting competitions and she would beat me. Like she's a really good shooter. So it was a fun, you know, competition. Like we're both two really competitive people. So it was really fun.
Your kids are going to hate you guys. They're never going to win anything.
Can you imagine like kids love nothing more than playing like horse.
And yeah.
Pops and like Pig. They always dream about the day that they can beat their pops
and they're never gonna beat them.
Shoots 50% from three
and their mom shoots just as good.
Dude, like your kids will never win a game of horse in their entire life and that's gonna hurt,
but when they go play other kids they'll smash. Wow, that's incredible. Last season, Iowa basketball, a lot of expectations going into the year. And you're going to be a junior, you know, probably at the time, especially now talking to you, getting to know your mindset, you're probably not thinking about the next level at all. You're just thinking about Iowa. But what was it like going into the season knowing, God, we're expected to win a lot of games and we're expected to go.
Iowa fans hadn't been this hype about basketball in a long time with Luka coming back for his senior year.
Maybe 30 years, you know.
No, it was obviously a different year with COVID, not having the fans at games, but still the expectation was on us. Luka set the tone when he decided to come back. He was talking about national championships and winning the Big Ten. So we had those expectations on our back the whole season, but we knew we had such a talented team that we could, you know, if we bought into everything that we could get those things done. Obviously came up a little bit short, but for the most part, I think we had a really good season and just a really talented team that I think dealt with all the adversity this past year. And I thought we had a pretty good year.
Drake, you know what the number one thing was that the scouts were writing down with this guy in interviews? Is he fucking answers questions really well.
And very humble, dude.
He says all the right things, man.
Because you have to imagine that we've all seen what basketball gyms look like growing up. It's a lot of really arrogant kids with big egos that are trying to prove they're the best hooper. And like, when it comes to being a hooper, people got big ass egos about them. So like, you got to imagine these NBA executives have talked to a lot of assholes and guys that just don't carry themselves the way Joe does. So when a guy like Joe walks in the room, it's like, oh, what a breath of fresh air, man. This kid can shoot like a fucking flamethrower and he carries himself well. Like, this is a dream.
And look how clean cut he is, everything about him.
That's something my older brother Matt instilled in me at a young age was.
Is that Dr. Wieskamp yet? Because he's close.
Soon to be, yeah. He's getting close to finishing up his PA school.
So your parents had a doctor.
Pops has his doctorate too, correct?
He's a physical therapist, so.
But he has a doctorate in physical therapy.
You know, I would have to ask him. I'm not entirely sure.
Holy shit!
Yeah, like I was saying, Matt, you know, instilled in me at a young age, just to remain humble through all the successes and all the types of things that, all the accolades, just everything to remain humble, and so that's something that I've always held close to me.
But it's not easy to do that, man. Like I scored 5 a game and I talked the most shit in high school. I went to Fort Dodge and opened the game 9-0 Tyler Kluver versus the Dodgers. And then heat checked from half court damn near on my 4th 3-pointer. Ended up making 5 that game, by the way. Probably something that Joe Wieskamp never did was make 5 3-pointers at Fort Dodge. but when you start to you see the ball go through the hoop, you start to swing a little bit more. Like, everybody gets, how do you hold that down, man? Because right now at 26, if I went to a Y game, a noon league game, and I hit one shot, I would start running around like my biceps were as big as my quads. And like, I don't have that switch in me to just say, nope, be humble. There's no humble about it. All right. I'm a god until I miss, which is the next shot for me. But like, you're just okay with being the silent killer. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of my personality. Like you just said it. I mean,
good for you.
In AAU, I remember one of the reporters called me the silent assassin. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just who I am. I'm not a type of guy to showboat and do different things, you know, scream. There's been an occasion when I've done it, but for the most part, I'm pretty even keeled throughout the game.
Unreal. Did you have an offer from Duke? Drake said you didn't choose Duke. Did you actually have an offer from there?
I did not. I committed to Iowa going into my sophomore year of high school. So just ended the recruiting process early. I knew that's where I wanted to go. I had a good relationship with Coach McCaffrey. And it was honestly my dream school, being so close to there, knowing that my family, grandparents, everyone could come to all the games. So I just decided to end my recruitment early. I know that if I didn't, that I probably would have had some offers from schools like Duke and other high profile,
I would say,
type teams. But at the end of the day, it's where I knew I wanted to go. So I was, you know, fully committed there.
Unbelievable. I mean, there's just not very many stories like there's not a whole lot of stories like you, man. It's pretty wild. Do you ever sit there and think, boy, this is quite the life I'm living? Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not too bad of a lifestyle. Yesterday, I walked into the Spurs facility for the first time and they handed me an envelope with money in it and said, welcome to the NBA. it's not an envelope that you get after a college game with $15-$20 in it. It's a nice little envelope. So I definitely am very blessed.
Let's go, dude. I'm so hyped.
Let's go.
I'm definitely very blessed to be in this position. I know a lot of kids would kill to be where I'm at. And
yeah, I'm still looking for my envelope.
Listen, man, we've talked about envelopes on this podcast so much because there's a storied, dirty history in football of top recruits getting envelopes, mm-hmm. and we're always dreaming about those envelopes, and we're fucking talking to an envelope guy.
Yeah, legal envelope guy.
Yeah, legal, yeah.
It brings up an interesting point. You exit college on the heels of NIL becoming a thing. That was one of the many, many factors, I'm sure, that even if it was a very small thing, weighed in your decision to come back for a senior season or go to the NBA. You were going to make money either way. Was that a tough decision? Was there a lot of back and forth, or was it pretty, because for me, I imagine being in that situation and thinking, oh man, like I love, and you're such an Iowa guy. You just said, you chose Iowa early because it was just the dream school. Your whole family can come watch you. It's the dream, and you're able to live out that dream. You started every single game of your 97 games, which, by the way, you scored double digits in 72 of them. Impressive. And you could have had more. What kind of decision was that? Or was it pretty after the draft like the whole process, you felt pretty confident that you were ready for the next level and it was, you slept pretty well at night?
Yeah, to be honest with you, NIL had no impact on my decision.
Yeah, I figured.
Honestly, my mind was made up even before the season ended. And right when the season ended, I knew that this was the next step for me. I just felt that I was ready. I felt that my game translated. But my agent was really conservative and wanted to go through this process, just kind of testing it and getting as much information and feedback as possible before I did ultimately make that decision. Cause you want to find out, you know, what's the floor, what's the worst case scenario. You go through this process. Maybe you're terrible throughout it. You are terrible in the workouts. You're terrible in the interviews. This is your floor. this is the worst case scenario. And then at that point, then I would go back to Iowa. But I think to go through this process, you kind of have to have that mindset that you're all in. You can't have one foot out. You have to go in trying to, you know, kill this process and just have that mindset that you're a pro. And that's the mindset I had throughout this whole time. And ultimately playing well at the combine was huge. Going to these workouts, performing well was another piece of the puzzle that goes into this, the decision maker's ultimate decision. But once I got the feedback from the combine, that's when I decided to stay all in, and I knew that I'd have a really good opportunity.
I was about to bring up the combine, dude, because you nuked it. Like, you showed up to the biggest job interview of your life, and you, I mean, you got an A on the test. Like, big, big props to you, because the pressure on those things is, it could make diamonds, dude. Like, in your case, it did, because you scored like 25 points in those combine games, which is kind of unheard of.
Yeah, the combine was a really good week for me. Obviously playing well in those games and just doing well in the interviews, but it's a long week. It's pretty much a week long interview, and it's tough to play in those games just because you know that everyone's trying to get theirs. Everyone's trying to go get paid. And so you have to have the mindset that when you get the ball, you got to try to make advantage, like take advantage of your opportunities. And that's really what I tried to do, was whenever I was open, I was going to shoot the ball and I was going to knock it down. And so it really helped me out. And yeah, it was a great combine for sure.
You get drafted, you're in San Antonio, you're wearing the, you know, the uniform, not the uniform yet, but the stuff. And you're clearly not a dumb guy. So now, as you move forward, and you said earlier, your goals are much further along, right? Like, there's a lot left on the plate. Wieskamp still got a lot to eat, right? There's more envelopes to be had. Hopefully some fucking large envelopes later on down the road.
Hopefully we're looking at one of them big checks with like 10 figures on it.
Hopefully it's a bunch of envelopes like they pull out of the back of a drug dealer's car. Like, it's that many envelopes. What does it take for Joe Wieskamp to get to that level? Like, what in your eyes has to be done skill wise, body wise, to really take the next step? Because man, the NBA is elite. I think about the NFL and the NBA and shit, baseball, you got 9 guys that play, but then you got like 3 or 4 farm league teams for each team. Like, you can be in the pros and there's like almost 10,000 pro baseball players because of all the freaking farm teams. Football, there's less, but more than there is in basketball. Basketball, there's 5 that start. What? How many are on a squad? 13?
Usually roughly 15.
15? It's like there's not a lot of guys with your job title, brother.
There's like 450 jobs in the world or something like that.
And And so now you have to make the jump to, you know, make the team, become a guy that contributes. You know, obviously the goal for everybody who makes it is, I want to be a starter. I want to be a guy I want to be a guy someday. How does Joe become a guy?
For me, obviously it starts with shooting. That's what, you know, I'm known for. That's what I'm best at. So it's becoming an elite shooter at the NBA level. And just watching different guys in the league that I view myself similar to, an incredible shooter in Duncan Robinson, just the way that he comes off screens and just is always ready to fire at all times. So it starts with shooting. I think athletically I'm there. It's just using my athleticism to my advantage better, especially on the defensive end. I think just being a solid defender, you know, in the NBA, guys are so elite at their craft that they're going to get a bucket at the end of the day. But if you can force them into tough shots and make them make tough twos, which is what the NBA really strives on, is something I have to work on. But I think being a good cutter, being a good teammate, are really just the things that I need to hone in right now. Being a floor spacer for a team, I'm not going to be a guy that's going to be up at the top of the key breaking guys down off the dribble at the beginning. I'm probably going to be in the corner, spacing the floor for guys and just knocking down shots. But I think just being around the pro game, my game's just only going to grow. And I'm excited to see where I can get to, because I know I have a long ways to go.
Do you think you're going to have a little bit easier time getting open early because you're just another white guy in the NBA? Like, you're not going to have the guys, you're not going to be the guy ISO-ing, right? There's just, you're going to have more openings. Like, Duncan Robinson gets a lot of freaking open 3-point shots. Like, he takes less contested shots than he did in college.
Yeah, I think I'll definitely be able to, because in college the scouting reports are crazy. I'm sure they're, you know, similar in the NBA, but you know, if you're playing on the Nets, you have, you know, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden.
So, bro, you're gonna be playing against these dudes. What?
Like, you gotta pick your poison. And so for me, I'm gonna be known as an elite shooter. So guys are still gonna be up into my space. They're gonna try to run me off the line. And at the end of the day, these athletes are just incredible. They're a lot taller. They're a lot quicker. Just all those different things. So I think that, you know, the floor will be spaced better, and I'll be able to get more looks off. But it's definitely not going to be any easier.
I'm curious if that means for you in training-wise, I have to imagine that going to the next level, you watch guys shoot off balance, bodies twisted. I mean, they got little amounts of room. Does that translate in practice to you really extending that range? Like, you're going to be practicing like absurd range, right? And you're going to be practicing shots that aren't always square, right? Like, it almost turns into a gimmicky thing, because you're already an elite shooter, but now you have to be an elite shooter with no room and with very little time. And so you probably already practice it a little bit, but do you think that will be a large majority of like a lot of the stuff you do now?
Yeah, it's crazy, because obviously being an elite shooter, just me going into the gym and just standing still,
right,
catching a shoot, it's really not going to make me that much better, because I already have the muscle memory. So I've already started to work on just like one-legged and off-balance shots, just coming off weird angles and being like catching it low, catching it high, catching it to the side, all those different types of things. And making shooting drills competitive, make yourself think.
Right.
So like all those different types of things is what I'm going to have to start doing. And I've already started to do, but you definitely take some different shots that I'm probably not going to be taking in a game, but it still is just working on your touch and your feel from different angles.
It's wild.
Who are you most excited to play against? Just a couple names of guys that you're just like, I'm gonna be able to play basketball against guys who were just not too long ago my idols.
There's too many to name. There's so many elite players that
fucking LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron, Klay Thompson. I'm a huge Devin Booker fan, watching him play in the finals and the playoffs. Giannis, there's just, even though maybe I probably won't start on them or be matched up against them, just to be at the same game as them. Like,
there's only 10 dudes on the floor at one time. So you're, I mean, there's five players on the other team.
I'll probably get switched onto them. So it's like, it's crazy to think that I'm at that point. Not at their level, but still, you know, in the NBA and can go up against them.
I know it's so different, Drake, for me and you compared to Joe, but I mean, he's on the podcast. It feels like he's closer to us than he is to those guys, which it's not. It's reversed. But just imagining getting, you know, you're on some guy who's like, good, he's a pro, he's a good basketball player, but then the screen comes and you get switched off and you like check back and you're on LeBron.
Well, if you're playing against LeBron, you were probably guarding damn Russell Westbrook before that. So, I mean, pick your poison there, pal.
Bro.
Yeah, no, it's going to be crazy going up against these guys.
You're going to need some more of that fucking Luka magic juice mental meditation shit before that game. Wow, dude. I got a question. Why it's probably because you know Drake, but why give us the time? Like, you're in the NBA now, man. Like, you got bigger things than the washed up walk-ons. Why do you sit down on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock and talk to us?
Nah, you guys are awesome. Obviously, I know Drake, and like we talked about earlier, he's a guy that I looked up to growing up, and just I've listened to your guys' episodes. My family's listened to all your guys' episodes. So this is honestly probably one of my, highlights of my interview podcast.
Yes. Yes. We always strive to be the best interview, because a lot of interviews aren't fun, dude. We just try and have fun around here.
I'm gonna put this at number one. This is the most fun interview or podcast I've ever had, ever been on. And I'm excited that you guys wanted to have me on.
Well, is fun because Kevin's not here, because Kevin is kind of a fun sucker sometimes.
Yeah. And honestly, at the beginning of the podcast, it said that he tried to get in and I accepted him, but he just never the thing never showed up. So I just, I never said anything. Wow, dude, absolutely crazy. So what's the process look like these next few days? I know you guys got stuff coming up, right? It starts on the 6th or the 7th.
It starts a little bit earlier for us. So San Antonio is part of a smaller summer league before summer league. Wow. So we got here Friday. We worked out. We had a first practice yesterday. Just got thrown into it. No skill work, no coming in and just getting shots up. It was a full-on two-hour practice. We had a practice today, and we actually leave tomorrow morning. I think we got to be at the facility at 6:30, and we're flying to Utah. And then we have a game on Tuesday. Just like a pre-summer league type thing. So we're really just thrown right into it.
Hey, but dude, you're a professional now, man. That's the life.
In comparing NBA to NFL, who do you think Pop is the most alike? Because I have one name.
Bill?
Yeah, it has to be Bill Belichick, yeah. Right?
It has to be.
There's one utter legend still coaching in the NFL and one utter legend still coaching the NBA. Yeah. And you're playing for that dude. That's still, I can't get my mind around that. When I saw that they drafted you, I was like, holy shit, Greg Popovich is going to turn this guy into an absolute slayer.
No, it's crazy. Like we talked about, I haven't met him yet in person, but when I do, it's just going to be I'm going to be starstruck. Actually, yesterday I was walking in the gym. I was obviously a little nervous. First practice, was trying to, they have so many support staff. So you're trying to remember everyone's name. You're trying to act all professional. When I walk in the gym and I look up and I see Tim Duncan. Yeah. So I met Tim Duncan yesterday and I'm like, wow. This is real.
Yeah. He's on backyard basketball. So that's definitely. He was, wow. That's
Tim Duncan's probably old enough to be your dad, right? He probably would have been 23, 24 when he had you.
His son was actually there watching practice.
How old is his son?
He looked like about 15, I would guess.
Tim Duncan is 45 years old. He could 100% be your dad. Yeah. Broski's good at basketball.
Does he still hoop with y'all? Does he still put the shoes on and play a demo guy?
I'm not sure. I would imagine that he might. We've only had a couple practices, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You're trying to mold a game around being extremely finesse, because shooting is as finesse as it gets. And Tim Duncan was the most finesse big man probably of all time. So that's so legendary that you get to learn from him, dude.
No, it's crazy, because we walked in the practice facility into the locker room and – I see my name up there. I see my number above the locker, and they're talking one of the best Spurs of all time. This was his locker. So the locker that I'm in the practice facility right now is Tim Duncan's old locker.
Bro, from the Muscatine locker room that smelled like stale piss to Tim Duncan's locker, bro. Stale I'm piss. So shook.
Stale piss and Axe deodorant.
When you said that, I was like, this is a dream.
Unbelievable, dude. This well,
real.
Well, you're getting up early and you're out of there. We gotta get you to bed. But is there anything? There's a lot of Iowa football fans clearly that listen to this podcast, but they cross over. A lot of basketball fans as well. And I'm sure because we got you on, there'll be a lot of people who don't listen to us because of our normal bullshit that come in and deal with it for one episode. Is there anything you want to leave the Iowa fan base with after 3 years in Iowa City?
Just want to thank the whole fan base for all their support of me, the whole team, just the whole Iowa athletics. You guys have been super supportive throughout the ups and downs. I know there's some crazy fans out there that might not be as supportive, but for the most part, there's a lot of true supporters that really want to see us succeed. And I'm just really thankful to have played at Iowa, to wore, you know, Iowa across my chest and to run out of the tunnel. So it's been a pleasure to play at Iowa, and just thank you guys all for your support.
Weezy F baby. Joe Wieskamp, episode 237 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Thank you guys, all of you who tuned in for this one, especially if you were here and you're not normally. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast and hopefully you listen to more. Joe, good luck with all of the future endeavors that are basically started already. And I cannot wait to watch you posterize some people in the league, bro.
Yeah, thank you guys. Easy out of here.
Let's go. Oh!